Welcome to Tell Me About Your Pain. I'm Alan Gordon.
And I'm Alon Ziv.
Today, we're going to talk about a really common trap that people fall into when they're trying to overcome their pain. And of all the episodes we've done so far, I think this is the most important one.
As always, we're excited to be doing this podcast in partnership with Curable. Curable is an app for treating chronic pain, and they have tons of great exercises and techniques to help you on your path to healing. You can check them out at curablehealth.com.
So before we dive in, I wanted to let you all know that after 3 years of writing, dozens of drafts, and one very patient book editor, I'm excited to announce that our book is finally available for pre-order.
Yay! It's called The Way Out, a revolutionary, scientifically proven approach to healing chronic pain.
This is the most comprehensive system on how to overcome pain that we've ever put together. We talk about the 12 key criteria to determine whether your pain is neuroplastic. We go in depth about somatic tracking, along with examples and common pitfalls. And we're most excited about something that we call the process, which is a new formula that we put together that's designed to help you maximize corrective experiences and minimize setbacks in order to overcome pain.
The book has examples with real-life patients, fun stories and analogies, Winnie the Pooh quotes, and much, much more. We're really proud of it, and we think you'll find it really helpful. You can learn more about it and pre-order it at thewayoutbook.com. All right, so let's get back to the episode. Our listeners know that I love to tell stories about my daughter, Azalea. She's 8, and she's the apple of my eye. I remember when my wife was pregnant, I used to joke that the perfect combination of our DNA would be if our daughter got my wife's looks and my wife's personality. Unfortunately, she got my personality. And because of that, she's very stubborn. And so we get stuck in these battles of wills sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, it's just over really silly little stuff. You know, I'll say something like, please put on your shoes. It's time to go. And then she'll respond, no, Daddy, I don't want to, okay. Which is not something a reasonable person says,
right.
You know? And so then I get frustrated and I'm like, no, you have to put on your shoes right now. And
it's like a battle of wills where the more you push it or try to force it, the more she resists.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I actually had that exact epiphany once when Azalea and I came home from a kid's birthday party and she got a little goodie bag at the party. And I hate goodie bags, but that's a separate rant for another day. And so the goodie bag's full of all these little trinkets, and one of them is a Chinese finger trap. And just in case our listeners don't know, Chinese finger trap is like a little woven tube, and you stick your index fingers in it, and then it kind of grabs your fingers, and the harder you pull to try and get out of it, the more it grips and the more stuck you are.
Right, right.
And so I had this epiphany. I realized my kid is a Chinese finger trap. Like, I'm trying to push her. I'm trying to force her. And it's just making her dig her heels more.
Right.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'm being too intense. I'm being too forceful. It's having the opposite effect that I want. And so ever since then, I kind of changed my approach. And now if she says, no, I don't want to, I don't argue with her. I don't try to, you know, bend her to my will. I just say, you know what? We need to go. And I think you know that. And I think you know that you need to put on your shoes. I'm not going to force you. And all of a sudden, she's putting on her shoes.
All right.
It turns out she didn't hate putting on shoes. She just hated me forcing her to put on shoes.
Right.
And so we're both happier now. And so I'm just approaching it with a totally different energy. And that's kind of what this episode is about. And we're going to talk to Paula, who is a chronic pain sufferer, who has been dealing with a Chinese finger trap situation of her own.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, Alan.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So I thought maybe we can start off by just having you tell me a little bit about your pain, what you've been through, basically anything that you think might be helpful.
Sure. My pain started 2 years ago. It started a month after I had an episode of a crazy allergic reaction to an antibiotic. I developed like major hives and swelling, which put me in the ER. It was a very, very stressful situation. Since then, I've been in this crazy ride of chronic daily headaches and dizziness. I've had headaches here and there before, like normal people, tension headaches, but never to a point that it was like every day, all day. And I also was really dizzy. Like, I was very unstable, but it was just like more walking on like marshmallows and honey and just like really weird feeling.
Mm. You just felt kind of like not balanced or unstable.
Yeah. And like my eyes wouldn't follow my movements per se, you know? So at the beginning, I kind of went into doctor mode, like did an MRI of the brain. And luckily that was all right. And I did some balance tests like for my inner ear. And I do have a hypofunction of my inner ears, meaning that my inner ears don't work as well as normal people. So that could be contributing to the dizziness. So I started vestibular rehab, but the headache wouldn't go away. Every day I would wake up, it was there. I would go to sleep, it was there. Now, I'm a single mother of a 7-year-old daughter, and I live by myself with her. And every time I would be home alone with her, the fear of this dizziness and the headache, it would just like consume me. Mm. And I would be so fearful at home that what if something happens to me? What is this? What, you know, the neurologist told me I had vestibular migraines and, you know, that I had to take this medication to get better. And then I started reading about vestibular migraines and how they kind of never go away. And like, it's so hard to treat them. And people struggle with symptoms for 10, 20 years. And I would be just like, oh my God, what is happening to me?
It sounds like you really went down like the fear rabbit hole. Let me ask you a couple of questions just to flesh that out a little bit more. I mean, you mentioned hypofunction of the inner ear. Was there any sign of any inner ear damage, or was it just kind of like your hearing wasn't as great?
No, there is no damage. There is not functioning to their 100% capacity. Now, both my ENTs think that my vestibular rehab has definitely, like, my brain has already kind of catch up to it. And they diagnosed me with, like, there's a maladaption of the brain. They told me these things. And, you know, when they say this type of stuff, I swear, like, your heart goes into, like, there's a maladaption of the brain. And they told me that it's called triple PD, what I have, which is kind of like a chronic dizziness that only can be fixed by taking an SSRI, which I kind of refuse to take.
Well, listen. I mean, first of all, an SSRI, it treats depression and anxiety. I think they're right with everything they said. There's just a missing link there. So dizziness, like pain, is a danger signal, right? You know how pain works. It's you've read up on it. If you have an injury, the nerve fiber in your body sends a signal to your brain, and it's a danger signal, and your brain responds by giving you pain. But sometimes the brain can actually interpret danger where there is none, and your brain is actually telling you tissue damage, danger, but there is no injury. It's just a misinterpretation. But guess what? Dizziness is a danger signal also. Mm-hmm. Dizziness is something that, you know, a danger signal that the brain tells us when we're off balance. And just like pain, dizziness is a signal that the brain could actually misinterpret danger where there is none. You know, I can't even tell you how many different danger signals I've had that ended up being neuroplastic. I've had pain, I've had fatigue, I've had anxiety, I've had dizziness, I've had nausea. Like, all of these things are just different danger signals. And like with pain, the brain can misinterpret danger where there is none. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, sometimes I wonder, because there is no way a human can have a headache every single day, you know, I still think there's something physically wrong.
Yeah. Well, guess what? From maybe 2005 through 2007, there were 2 years very early on when I had head pain every minute of every day for 2 years. It was shortly after my back pain subsided after a cortisone injection that was a total placebo. All of a sudden, I woke up one day out of nowhere and I had this 8 out of 10 headache. I mean, I'd had headaches just like everybody else, you know, like every now and then, but this was different. And I went to the neurologist and I went all around and, you know, finally I was diagnosed with high cerebral spinal fluid pressure. And it was like, ah, so much relief. I finally got a diagnosis. And, you know, every minute of every day for 2 years, I had head pain. And I don't anymore. It was neuroplastic pain. It was something that was being caused by my brain. There was nothing physically wrong with me. And I get the fear that you have and the instinct that you have that there's got to be something wrong with me because we're evolutionarily wired to associate physical pain with physical injury. And it's so severe and it's so persistent. But with everything that you told me, you know, I really think that it points to it being neuroplastic.
Yeah. And I've heard that part of, I mean, your podcast and stuff. And I think about it many times. You know, this pain has awakened an incredibly like passion for neuroscience. And since I had this pain, I started learning about the brain. I started learning about the body because I do find that humans are amazing. And like we are, you know, designed to heal. But for some reason, I'm not healing and it's not happening to me. You know?
Oh, no. Let's reframe that. You know, I think that for a long time, you felt like I'm not healing. Why aren't I healing? You know, human brains heal. But in order for something to even necessitate healing, there needs to be an injury. And I think that that's where the disconnect is there was never an injury. I mean, when you say migraine, like, do you have an aura before the onset of the headache? It sounds like you have a constant headache. That's not a migraine.
Right. That's what I say to myself. But, you know, I don't have an aura. I don't have sensitivity to light. I don't have sensitivity to sound. I just have a constant headache. And sometimes it's in the front, in the forehead area. Sometimes it's on the top. And I know you're going to say that because it moves. You know, it's not on one clear spot. But, you know, the neurologist told me migraines don't have to be like one-sided. They can be what you have. So they completely put me in this bracket of like, you have a vestibular migraine and all you can do is take one of these preventative medications that I took for a while. I took nortriptyline for like a year and the side effects, you know, I don't like taking that type of stuff. And then I decided not to take anything. And now I'm like, am I silly for not be taking anything? It's that guilt of like, am I not getting better? Because I'm saying no to all these medications. And the neurologist gets a little frustrated with me because it's like, I can't help you if you don't want to take anything. You know, it's like you have a migraine and maybe you need to take this medication forever. And
yeah.
Those are things that really sit with you. Like, oh my goodness. I decide to go like the healthy route or try to like eat well, exercise and meditate, but the pain still doesn't go away. And it's just like, it's stubborn. Yeah. And I just don't know what to do anymore. Like, I'm like, sometimes I do get super down and you caught me in a good few days, to be honest with you. Like I've been a little bit better and I don't know why.
I mean, to me, it's already clear as day that this is neuroplastic, but I want it to be clear as day to you. Do you ever do anything? Are there ever any activities where the pain is goes down a lot or is not even there?
Yeah. I exercise a lot. I'm incredibly into fitness. I do high intensity interval training and sometimes it goes away for sure.
Okay. Well, let me lay this out for you in a very clear, concrete way. You 100% have neuroplastic pain. And I don't say something like that lightly. You know, the only thing that doctors have been able to find is hypofunction of the inner ear, which has no relation to headaches whatsoever. You know, you've done all of these treatments. Nothing has really worked. The pain came on after an incredibly stressful situation. It moves around to different parts of your head. It goes away when you're engaged in another activity. That is not how structurally caused pain works. You have neuroplastic pain, for sure.
Well, I know I listen to your podcast and I wonder myself, I'm like, do I have this? But then sometimes, like, I literally sit after listening to your podcast and I was like, I don't think so.
It's almost kind of like when you're dreaming, you believe it's really happening to you. You know, in the middle of the dream, you're never like, this isn't real. You know, like I can't fly in real life. How could this be real? It's kind of like we've come to learn to trust our senses so deeply that when we have pain, we instinctively, millions of years of evolution are telling us there's something wrong with your body. And on top of that, you have doctors giving you diagnoses, telling you there's something wrong with you, you need to go on medication. So those are the barriers, right?
Yeah.
And we just want to kind of have that laid out so that when your mind goes to, oh my gosh, there's something physically wrong with me, sometimes it could be easier to dismiss those messages, not get hooked by them. If we're like, okay, of course I'm going to think this because that is my instinct, you know, where I'm evolutionarily wired to think that. But because of this piece of evidence, and that piece of evidence, I know that I'm safe and there's nothing wrong with me. So I want you to tell me all of the different things that you tried to treat your pain or help yourself get better over the years.
So I done a bunch of acupuncture, chiropractor. I did do a couple of occipital nerve blocks. That didn't work very well. And I did Botox.
I did all of those same things back when I had pain. I'm very familiar with those treatments. What else have you tried?
31 injections.
Oh my goodness.
I've been going to a homeopathic doctor and he told me I had this viruses. And maybe you have mold in your home. So then I was like, oh my God, what if I have mold? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. In San Francisco, I live by the beach. So it could be, you know, I don't see it, but who knows? And my friend was like, you might just be allergic to something you're eating every day and you don't know. So I haven't eaten gluten and dairy for almost 2 years since all this stuff started. I went kind of plant-based vegan. Did it help? No. I still have my headaches. It's just like I'm doing everything I can, but it's like it doesn't cease, you know?
Wow, you can hear the intensity in her voice.
Yeah, you could really tell that, you know, everything that she's doing with this undercurrent of intensity. She even said that, you know, her workouts are like these high intensity workouts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which isn't a bad thing, but I could really relate to it because, you know, when I was having a lot of pain, you know, I mentioned I had head pain 24 hours a day for 2 years. And as I was kind of gradually figuring out what I needed to do to get better, I remember there was one day in particular, it was a Sunday, when I just decided all day I was going to do everything I needed to do, you know, to address this pain. For 11 straight hours, I was doing somatic tracking, leaning into positive sensations. I was catching my fear thoughts. I was giving my brain messages of safety.
Wow.
And at the end of 11 straight hours of that, my pain was even worse.
I'm not surprised.
And, you know, I remember in that moment, I very authentically said, you know what? I give up. I'm done. I'm done trying. I'm just going to surrender. My pain is never going to go away. I'm just going to stop working so hard. And I meant it. And within 5 minutes, the pain was like 50% better.
Wow.
And I realized in that moment, oh, you know, yes, I was doing the quote unquote right techniques. On paper, I was doing everything right, but I was doing these techniques with such an undercurrent of intensity that even though, you know, the techniques were the right techniques, the energy that I was doing them with was actually sending messages of danger to my brain.
Yeah. And I think that's clearly what's going on with Paula here. I mean, she's working very hard, but it's clear that one, she's intense, and two, she's terrified. I mean, I don't know what her doctors have been telling her, but like, you know, that she's convinced that she's got viruses, that her home is full of mold, that she's, you know, she's being so careful about what she eats.
Yeah.
I mean, my home and food are like my two favorite things. And to her, those are now, you know, sources of danger. So of course, you know, she's got, her brain is just flooded with danger right now.
Yeah. And so really one of the goals is to help her lower the overall level of intensity with everything that she does.
All right. Let's get back to the call with Paula.
So just to kind of recap, over the past couple of years, you've gone down this path of food allergies, taking all of these herbs and supplements. You're doing these elimination diets. You're, you know, frantically searching for mold. I have good news and bad news for you. So the bad news is everything that you've been doing is the complete opposite of what you should be doing to get better. The good news, the good news is that everything you've been doing is the opposite of what you should be doing to get better, which means it makes sense why you haven't gotten better. And there's so much room for improvement. You know, it's great that you've been doing the wrong things, because if you've been doing all the right things and you're still in pain after 2 years, well, where do we go from there? But the fact that you haven't been doing the things that you should be doing to get out of pain gives us so much room for change. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense.
Here's the reason why I say that it's the opposite of what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. All of these things that you're doing, you're reinforcing messages of danger to your brain. Mm-hmm. The reason why you have these symptoms in the first place is because your brain is shrouded with danger and because you are constantly preoccupied with it. Mm. Well, what is that going to do to your level of preoccupation if every single time you eat, you're thinking about it, right? If every mm-hmm. single place you go in your house, you think, is the mold really bad here? You're mm-hmm. reinforcing messages of danger to your brain, and your poor primitive brain is going to be in such a state of high alert that it's going to perpetuate these symptoms. Does that make sense?
Totally. Totally. You know, my therapist just told me, you are a very good student. Like, this is how I was at school. When something's wrong, I'm very solution-driven. And I'm, like, going to try to do everything in my power. So I'm not surprised that I'm doing it with this pain as well.
Yeah. But I get it, Paola. I was the same way. And that has really served us well in so many aspects of our lives, right? Like, intensity, this drive, this pressure mm-hmm. really allowed you to be successful. But this is the one area that is going to actually prevent you from being successful, because the more intense you are to try to fix this problem, the more you reinforce messages of danger to your poor primitive brain.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. So what now?
What we need to do is we need to teach you a new way of being. Ready? Here's your homework assignment for the next 50 years. We need to teach you.
I'm taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Two words. Mm-hmm. Lighten up. We need to teach you how to exist in a way where you're at ease. So here's what's going on, right? Let's say you go to Las Vegas. You're in Tahoe right now, right? They have gambling in Tahoe. Let's say you go to a mm-hmm. casino and there's a one hand of blackjack that you play and you have $100,000 riding on that hand, right? Every card that's flipped over, the stakes are so high, right? Mm-hmm. That is you with everything. The stakes are so high. Everything that you read, every new intervention that you try, every time you get a headache, every time you feel a little dizzy, the stakes are so high. Mm-hmm. And your primitive brain is in a perpetual state of high alert because the stakes are so high, because every moment of every day, it's like your brain thinks that your life is in danger. You know, it's like this super high stakes thing. Now imagine you're at the same casino, you're at the same blackjack table, but now it's just a $5 hand, right? I mean, it'd be nice mm-hmm. to win, but if you lose, it's no big deal. That's what we want to do. We want to help you lower the stakes. We want to help you exist in a less intense way and just exist in an easier, lighter way. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I always say, if the pain goes away, I'll be able to enjoy more. You know, it's like that. If the pain goes away, then I'll be able to.
And you know what the irony is, right? Is when you're able to enjoy things more, that's when the pain is going to go away.
Yeah, and there's something in me that just has a hard time with that. You know, like believing that that's how the equation goes, you know?
Well, I mean, look at the evidence that we've had. When you're exercising, right? When you're kind of like going for a run and you're enjoying the day and you're just kind of like existing in the moment and you're not preoccupied with the pain, that's when the pain goes away. You know, this is not a leap of faith. This is a leap of evidence.
Right. Right.
All we need to do is teach you to exist that way more regularly.
And your headaches just went away by doing that? Like, all of a sudden was like, okay, and that was it?
every minute of every day for 2 years, I think without exception. And it will, you know, it might come back every couple of months if I put a little pressure on myself, but after 20 minutes or 2 hours, it passes again, because I, now when it comes on, I don't look at it as like, oh my God, it's this terrifying thing. I'm like, ah, this is my body's way of letting me know that I'm putting too much pressure on myself, or I'm not attending to my internal state, or I've kind of abandoned myself in some way. And like, thank you, brain, for letting me know that. And I'll start treating myself better, and I'll kind of slip back into enjoying the moment, and it'll fade.
Wow.
I want you to just stop all of the things that you're doing, the incessant meditations that you're listening to and chasing this whole mold thing. Like, you've got to cut that out, because all of that, you're not doing it to be intentionally cruel to your primitive brain, but it is scaring the hell out of your primitive brain.
I agree with you. The messages I'm telling my brain is that something's wrong with you. You're broken. You need to be healed.
Yeah.
It might be a little hard, but I can definitely do it. And I need to. It's exhausting, you know?
I think a lot of chronic pain sufferers can relate to Paula and her intensity, I think. And I think you made a really interesting point in that clip, where one of the problems is that that kind of intensity is often rewarded and praised, and people love when you work hard, and they love when you're intense and you do a good job. And it can lead to a lot of praise and a lot of success, which keeps it kind of stuck. I mean, I know that you still struggle with intensity sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely my kryptonite. I could fall back into that mode when the stakes seem high.
I noticed that when we were writing the book together.
You mean the ending?
Oh, the ending. Yes. The ending was intense.
I really feel like, you know, endings are so important. Like, you know, when like a TV show like Breaking Bad, or, you know, like a movie with Shawshank Redemption, like when they really have amazing endings, when they stick the landing like that, it just makes it so much better. And so
I agree.
Where we spent so long on this book, and it's, you know, going to be like the only book we ever write. And it's like the stakes were so high, and I really wanted to get the ending right. And I think it took like 3 months for me to write like the last three paragraphs of the book.
You did get a little obsessive about those last three paragraphs. By the way, the last three paragraphs are great.
I know. You know, they're so good.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, I feel like sometimes it's like when you're really intense and you, you know, have the stakes high and you put all of this effort into something, you can achieve something that's so great and it feels so good. And that's why it's so hard to give it up or let it go. You know?
Exactly. But we know that there's also a cost
to
that intensity, and that's exactly what Paula's been struggling with.
Yeah.
So now you're going to help, in this next clip, you're going to help Paula start to let go of that intensity.
What we want to do is we want to help give her the experience of existing in a way absent of that intensity, because right now she doesn't really even know how everything she does with that sense of intensity. So we wanted to actually give her experiential evidence of like what it's like living without that intensity.
Right. Not just intellectually understanding it, but actually feeling it.
Right.
All right. Let's check it out.
So there's a couple things that I wanted to try. Right now, you don't have a headache, you're feeling okay. We want to see if we could actually start getting practice teaching you how to exist in a lighter, easier way. Something that we want you to practice throughout the day so that it become more of a default setting, so that your brain could actually go to that place more automatically. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I want you to do is I want you to walk outside. And you're in Tahoe right now, right?
I am.
So it's probably beautiful out.
It really is.
Right? It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Tahoe. The sun is setting. It's a nice temperature.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is I want you to just kind of be outside and do something where you're just moving a little bit. Maybe you're walking around a little. So I want you just to kind of like describe what's around you. Describe what you see.
I see lots of pine trees.
Okay.
Little aspen trees. And lots of snow.
It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's pine trees. There's snow. It sounds like a really beautiful setting.
It is a beautiful setting. I love being here. I see people walking their dogs.
Good. Okay. So what I want you to try is I want you to see if you could engage in some sort of movement, right? You could either just kind of like walk around or you can stretch, but I want you to see if you can move, because sometimes it's easier to kind of tap in with that lighter, easier energy if you're moving. And, you know, sometimes when we're really still, we could kind of be in brace mode where we're just kind of like locked in. But sometimes when we're moving, it kind of frees up that energy a little bit so that we can be in that lighter state. And really just take it in. You know, I want you to just see if you could let go. It's like you go through life and you're gripping the steering wheel so tightly that, you know, your knuckles are white. And that's kind of how you go through life. There's an intensity to it. But what I want you to do is actually just see if you could let go of the steering wheel and just let it go. Your daughter's 7 years old, so she probably loves the movie Frozen. You know that song in Frozen, Let It Go?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, right? We know that by heart.
You know it by heart, right?
Yeah.
So just see if you could kind of embody the spirit of that song. And just like you're walking around, you're taking in the scenery, you're moving, and just let go. Just kind of like appreciate the sights around you. Take a deep breath and see what it smells like. And just let go of the steering wheel and just even kind of notice what physical sensations come up in your body, right? There might be like a pleasant sensations in different parts of your body, or there might be tight sensations in different parts of your body, and you don't need to control it. You know, I think that so often in your life, you have a tendency to want to control things, but what we want to do here is the opposite. We just want to let it go, right? Just let go. And how do you feel?
I feel really good. I mean, of course, it's like so wonderful to be able to like do that. I mean, it's conscious. Like, it's not natural.
It's not natural.
But I think if I continue to practice,
right?
You know,
and you don't need to practice 23 hours a day. You know,
right, and that's where it gets.
Yeah, we don't want you to practice being light and easy with a sense of intensity.
Right.
But that's great. Right. You know, this is literally like the first time that we just tried this. You went outside, you were able to be in the moment, you were able to be present, and you were actually able to enjoy existing in a light, easy way.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful that I don't have a headache right now.
Yes.
Now, if I would, knowing myself, I would be able to do that. But then the minute I walk out back in the door, like, it's just like those thoughts of pain take over, you know? So,
you know, you're not putting pressure on yourselves to feel great all of the time. You're just communicating messages of safety to the best of your ability at any given moment. So when the pain is there, you're like, hey, you know, I'm sorry that it's there, but there's nothing structurally wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to pass. You're going to be okay. And then when it does pass, then mm-hmm. you could just experience existing in life in a lighter, easier way. And you just showed that you have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just getting practice, getting lots of reps, existing in that lighter, easier state throughout the day. And I promise you, Paola, I promise you, your pain and the dizziness will eventually fade as your brain starts getting these messages of safety. There's no ambiguity around it.
Oh, man, that sounds so incredible.
I mean, couldn't you even feel it? Like, couldn't you tell when you were out there and you were walking around and you were embodying that sense of lightness and just it almost kind of like your body was free?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's all the headaches are. That's all the dizziness is. It is the collateral damage of you existing in a state of fight or flight and in a state of tensity all the time. Right? It's almost kind of like if you have a car and you put the worst kind of gasoline in it and you drive 90 miles per hour and you never change the oil, of course it's going to start making a clicking sound. But when you start treating it nicer, it starts running smoothly again. And that's all that's going on in your body. right? You're giving yourself messages of fear. You're giving yourself messages of pressure. You're criticizing yourself. You're beating yourself up. You're, you know, injecting fear at every turn. No wonder your primitive brain is so terrified.
Before all this pain, I was definitely living in a very intense state of like fight or flight with a toxic relationship and a lot of pressure from work and, you know, a past of like a pretty intense alcoholic home. Oh. So, you know, growing up with that, there's always the fear of like something going wrong any minute, you know? And I think you also put that with the pain. It's like, you know, catastrophic thinking is kind of in my DNA for my childhood, you know?
Yeah. Which explains why, you know, you have developed this personality where there was like such intensity and such fear of being out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like in the song Let It Go, like the past is in the past, you know, like you're not in that situation anymore. You're free now. So now it's just about, you know, teaching your brain we're actually safe. You don't need to be so intense anymore. You can let go and that's okay.
Oh my God, this is so beautiful and helpful. This is so amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's great. I mean, you know, the cool thing is like we have a tendency to think like, oh, you know, if only I could get back to how I was before the pain started. But, you know, the reality of the situation is life was probably pretty intense and pretty exhausting even before that. Like you can actually get to a place where things are better than they were before the pain started, where you can exist in an easier way.
Mm. Mm. Oh, God, that sounds heaven.
You know, we've been working together and talking about pain together for years at this point.
Right.
And I thought I knew all of your tricks, but I was so surprised when you brought up Let It Go. I've never heard you use that analogy before.
That's funny. Yeah, that was a new one. That was actually the first time I've done that.
It was great. Thanks. And I love that song. And what's really impressive is you don't even have kids, and yet you were quoting the song.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Paola and I have no choice. We have daughters. We have to, you know, that song has been forced into our brains. But
I actually wrote a parody song to Let It Go about meditation, so I'm very familiar with the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. That's really funny. It actually is a great song about, you know, it's kind of about chronic pain.
Right.
You know, it really fits. I'm not going to sing it because I don't want Disney to sue us, but I do. I love the lyric when Elsa says, "It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all."
It's really good.
And that's exactly what you were helping Paola with.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Kind of letting go of the intensity and letting go of those fears.
Right. So, you know, we've talked a lot about on this podcast before. We've gone over so many different types of techniques, and the techniques themselves is only half the equation. It's not just about what you do. It's about the energy with which you do it. That's what we talked about today, and I think that's something that could be really helpful for you all to think about. You know, the analogy that I used with Paola, are you at the blackjack table where it's $100,000 a hand or it's $5 a hand? So for all of you out there listening, you know, when you're kind of in this state where the stakes feel really high, ask yourself, can I lower the stakes? Can I reduce that level of intensity?
Yeah. Can I take it from something that's life and death to something that's kind of fun?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Thank you all so much for joining. Remember to go to thewayoutbook.com to learn more about the book and to pre-order it.
And you can see the cover. I love the cover.
Yeah, it's really soothing.
Soothing is exactly what we were going for.
We'd like to thank our partners at Curable. Remember to check them out at curablehealth.com. And as always, thanks to our amazing producer, Lori Poliski. We'll see you guys next time.